The title of this article is, What Happened with the WHO? The subtitle is, What You Need to Know About the Recent World Health Assembly WHO Meeting. For many months now, we've been reporting on developments at the supranational level that will determine how countries respond to the next pandemic. There are two separate processes, amendments to the international health regulations and the negotiation of a pandemic treaty. While both documents have gone through many revisions, the basic framework remains the same. The centralization of decision-making in the World Health Organization and the creation of a global pandemic cartel delivering customers and, by extension, profits to the open arms of Big Pharma. The culmination of these two processes was this past weekend's 77th WHO meeting in Geneva, where 194 WHO member states got to vote. There's good news and bad news. The good news: no consensus was reached on the pandemic treaty, so nothing was approved. Negotiators will have another year to produce a treaty. There is no doubt that public backlash over the treaty from dissenters to the process, ANH included, changed the course of events and helped spur political opposition to the treaty and the IHR amendments. Just recently, almost half the U.S. Senate and 22 state attorneys general sent letters to President Biden opposing the WHO's efforts. We want to thank all of you who responded to our action alerts for your dedicated activism. Now for the not-so-good news. Unfortunately, a package of amendments to the IHR was approved by the WHA, something we knew was inevitable as only a two-thirds majority of member states' votes was needed. While it's not as bad as it could have been, there are still significant problems within the amendments to the IHR that were approved. These changes come into effect in 12 months. Countries have 10 months to reject them. There is no requirement that the U.S. Congress hold a vote on whether to accept the amendments, so we must continue to bring the pressure necessary to force members of Congress to proactively oppose this global power grab. The amendments approved at the WHR are much the same as those contained in the draft we discussed a few weeks ago. Here are some of the important points. Article 1 gives a vague definition of a pandemic emergency as a public health emergency of international concern caused by a communicable disease and has or is at high risk of having wide geographical spread to and within multiple states, and Roman 2 is exceeding or is at high risk of exceeding the capacity of health systems to respond in those states, and Roman 3 is causing or is at high risk of causing substantial social and/or economic disruption, including disruption to international traffic and trade. Emphasis added, risk is a broad and relative term, so this gives the Director General of the WHO a lot of leeway in determining what counts as a pandemic emergency. Another key term defined in the amendments is irrelevant health products, which includes the drugs, vaccines, tests, medical devices, and cell and gene-based therapies that Big Pharma will produce to combat the next communicable disease. A central part of the IHR amendments is about speeding the production of these products and getting them distributed as far and wide as possible. Article 13, Section 9 obligates states to support the WHO in its activities and to work with domestic stakeholders to facilitate equitable access to relevant health products while also making available relevant terms of their research and development agreements for relevant health products related to promoting equitable access to such products. The amendments setting up what looks very much like a vaccine passport-like system, potentially requiring proof of vaccination or testing certificates for travel remain. A new section in Article 44 says that state parties shall maintain or increase domestic funding to strengthen sustainable financing to support the implementation of these regulations. Taxpayer dollars are meant to be diverted to support the WHO's plans and enrich Big Pharma. Annex 1 requires states to develop the core capacities related to preparing for and responding to a pandemic. This includes addressing mis- and disinformation. All of this is in line with what we've been saying all along. We're witnessing an attempt to build a global pandemic cartel. You'll be told when the next pandemic is. They will try to make you afraid of the new virus or a other pathogen, regardless of its origin. Then they'll present you with the antidote in the form of newly developed, rapidly produced, emergency-approved vaccine, maybe even some newfangled cell or gene-based drugs. They'll tell you that they are just following the science as they manipulate or withhold data on these so-called irrelevant health products to show they are safe and effective, while attacking, banning, and discrediting anyone who dares question these health edicts or offers alternatives. It's clean, simple, one-size-fits-all medicine that ignores massive tracts of knowledge we have about the delicate interplay between our immune systems and nature. The widely attended protest against these developments in Geneva, including ANH founder Robert Verkerk, PhD, ANH USA board member Melanie Aldridge, Robert Malone, MD, Dr. Ryan Cole, Del Bigtree, Dr. Kat Lindley, to name a few, demonstrates clearly that people are fed up with the idea that everyone on the planet should be subject to the same pandemic response, lockdowns, masks, etc., no matter how destructive these policies were, and should be treated with the same drug or vaccine, no matter where they live or what their health status might be. The fight is far from over. We have 10 months to get the U.S. administration, whichever way it goes in November, to reject these amendments, and we must continue to oppose the pandemic treaty as negotiations continue. The upcoming presidential election will be relevant to this issue, with everything pointing to President Biden being on board with the WHO's plans, and Donald Trump continuing to demonstrate opposition to the WHO.